The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's a nutritious smoothie of creamy, fresh yogurt, vanilla protein powder, and a mushy banana. For your mind, drink it all down. It's nummy. I want vanilla. I want vanilla. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the program. It is, I don't know, Monday, April 29th. Is it possible? Is it possible that it's Monday? I've been everywhere. I was at Columbia University. I flew to Nashville. We'll talk about all this in a second. I will also interview today Larry Taunton. We're going to be talking about Hamas. We're going to be talking about Kristi Noem, dog killer. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff with Larry Taunton. And we're going to be talking to our friends at CSI. We're doing a campaign this month. If you don't find this exciting, that we get the opportunity to participate in freeing slaves, I want to invite you. This is so beautiful. This is so beautiful that we get to do this. So we're talking to our friend Todd Chapman today. We're talking to Larry Taunton today. Now, before we talk to them, and before I talk to Chris Himes about what I did this weekend in Nashville, actually Murfreesboro, I want to tell you about a couple of other things. First of all, I think in the past I've told you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They're the ones who bought the Bidenomics.com website from under Joe Biden's nose. I find this hilarious. Okay, so Americans for Prosperity bought the website Bidenomics.com. Americans for Prosperity are literally the largest, most effective grassroots organization in the country. Kind of a big thing to say, but it's true, right? So anyway, they're now launching a national tour to expose the weak Biden economy, because there's some people who seem not to know about it. I don't know what world they live in. And also to push conservative solutions to get the economy back on track. The tour is called Prosperity is Possible, and it's going to have buses and vans crisscrossing the country throughout the summer to educate and inform Americans who are worried about the economy, which should be all of us, and to rally for common sense solutions, which I'm just guessing Joe Biden doesn't have them. So in any event, if you know Americans for Prosperity, they'll have some fun. And just the fact that they purchased Bidenomics.com, I don't know what to say. I love that. If you want to check out details on the tour, you can go to prosperityispossible.com. That's prosperityispossible.com. And again, that organization is Americans for Prosperity. I also want to talk to you. Recently, I interviewed our friend Jason Jones about his book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. Okay, so the book is brand new. Jason Jones, if you listen to this program, you know who he is. Number one credential, he's a friend of John Zmirak. Yes, a good friend of John Zmirak. So it tells you everything you need to know. He's also an award-winning film producer and human rights activist. So he's written the book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. He says that the persistent fear-mongering influencing by the radical reformers who are behind this wicked thing called the Great Reset has undermined the health of this nation, and it's robbed young people in America of their ability to reason and experience authentic love. He argues in the book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset, that we can reverse course and we need to do so. He has said in the interview that I did with him that it's like we're living in a dystopian novel with unprecedented oppression, violence, loss of rights, and the weaponization of science and technology at the hands of powerful people with dark intentions. Again, if you listen to this program, you know this is true. This is, it is unprecedented. It's horrifying. So in any event, in the book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset, he lays out the campaign against the Great Reset. And so the idea is that we need to understand what is happening, and then we need to work against it, really to understand exactly what's happening and what it is that we can do. So I just want to make sure that you're aware the book is The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. You can get it anywhere. It's by our friend Jason Jones, and we will re-air my conversation with him on the book, just because it's fabulous. So Chris Himes, I want to talk to you before we get to our two guests today. I want to talk to you about what I was doing in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Can I tell you?
Were you, I'm here. Were you trying to get like, what do they have down there in Tennessee? Is it raccoons?
No, I don't think so. Maybe they have raccoons, but I wasn't there for the raccoons. No, I was there actually to speak at a Christianity and Culture conference at World Outreach Church. World Outreach Church, let me just say, I think I've spoken at World Outreach Church in the last 10 years, maybe 10 times, more than I've spoken anywhere in America or the world. Alan Jackson, Pastor Alan Jackson, has become a friend. They're fantastic, and they blow my mind. Every time I go there, I think, I didn't even know there was this many Christians in America, much less in one church. They have it's the largest church in Tennessee. It's in Murfreesboro. I recommend it highly. It's a wonderful church, and they, you know, they don't shrink from the big questions of where we are today and what to do about it. You know, they don't say, well, we don't want to be political. They just talk about, you know, what I say we need to talk about. If you're any kind of a Christian, you need to deal with the evil and figure out how you can stand against it. So they had this wonderful conference. Tons of wonderful speakers were there. I missed half of them because I arrived late. But the day that I was there, Chad Robichaux was there, and Kaylee McEnany was there. And we had a big thing in the morning. And again, their sanctuary is huge. There had to be, I don't know, 2,000 at least people. But in the evening, they had an event outside, and I spoke last year. They had a like a fall festival with like food trucks and, you know, I don't know, bouncy houses or whatever. They just get like zillions of people show up. And so that was a year ago, or not a year ago. It was 6 or 7 months ago. But the other day on Sunday evening, they had another outdoor event, and there had to be 10,000 people there. I was absolutely staggered. I mean, absolutely staggered. It's just, it's an astonishing thing sometimes when you see that many people gathered to worship God, to sing the songs of praise, and then to hear different speakers. Again, Chad Robichaux was interviewed by Pastor Alan Jackson. Now, if you don't know Chad Robichaux, I've had him on. Amazing.
Was there an emphasis on the culture there? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
It was Christianity. It was Christianity and culture. Yeah. So it covered all kinds of stuff. It covered all kinds of stuff. But Chad Robichaux, his story, I mean, he's the head of the Mighty Oaks Foundation, and his story of, I mean, he was a top MMA fighter who you know, he served our country in Afghanistan, and he now goes back. He wrote a book called, I guess, is it called Rescuing Aziz or Finding Aziz? About going back to Afghanistan after our government scandalously, after Joe Biden scandalously left $87 billion of equipment and innumerable people, far worse, in danger by leaving Afghanistan a couple of years ago. Chad put a team together and went back to rescue his interpreter, who would have been murdered. And they ended up rescuing thousands of people. So Chad Robichaux is just one of these next level heroes. I'm just trying to think. So he spoke, then I spoke, and then Kaylee McEnany was interviewed. Many people remember she was press secretary for Donald Trump. Just, you know, brilliant, wonderful young woman of profound Christian faith. But it's just a joy to be down there. It's in Murfreesboro. And again, I say, if you're in that area, I would check out that church. You're not paying me to say this, folks. I just, people are often saying, well, I don't know, where should I go to church? You should at least know about World Outreach Church in Murfreesboro. As I said, I think it's like the largest church in Tennessee. And it's not like a large church, you know, because of the coffee bar. Okay. I think they have an amazing coffee bar, but that's not why it's a large church. So anyway, all right. So we're going to be talking to CSI. Don't forget to go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner for CSI. We want everybody to participate. Talking to Larry Taunton. Stick around. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas. We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There's so many reasons Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and legacy precious metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to LegacyPMInvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you. LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. As promised, our friend Larry Taunton. Hey, Larry, how are you?
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. I want to talk to you about everything. You've been writing about a number of interesting things. Where shall we start? I want to talk to you about Hamas. I want to talk to you about Jordan Peterson. I want to talk to you about a lot of stuff, but let's talk about the least important thing first. Kristi Noem. I'm not a fan of Kristi Noem. She's kind of, you know, she's basically conservative, but if I remember correctly, she did the same thing in her state, I don't know if it's South Dakota or North Dakota, that Mike Pence did in Indiana. In other words, I think she basically did not have the back of religious conservatives in her state. So she did that gutless thing that, you know, usually rhinos can be counted on to do this, but somebody like Kristi Noem, you expect her to step up. So I think she'd be a horrible vice presidential pick. Horrible. God forbid Trump would pick her. But there's been this kerfuffle is the
Aramaic term.
There was a kerfuffle because she just wrote a book in which she talks about putting down a wild dog that she didn't think was trainable. And everybody's like freaking out. And I'm not sure that I understand the freak out. I'm a dog lover at this point, but I just don't understand exactly what the issue was here.
Yeah. You know, you're a writer. I'm a writer. A question that would come to the minds of both of us is where in the world were her editors, you know, in allowing this to go through. I think some people have seen this as stupidity on Noem's part in including it. And I actually think it's something worse than that. I think that it's indicative of the fact that she's not reading the country beyond the confines, the borders of her own state, or the confines of a working ranch or farm. Anybody who spent any time on a farm or ranch understands that the hierarchy of animals is very, very different from what it is in urban centers. You love dogs. As you know, I love dogs, but we can afford to. We can afford to have a dog around that serves no practical function other than our own companionship and amusement. On a ranch or a farm, the hierarchy is very different. And a dog that kills livestock has a very short lifespan. There's a reason why laws, both foreign and domestic, not only allow for such dogs to be put down, but often require it. So I have no problem like you with Noem shooting the dog. The problem is that she seemed to think that a story like this would resonate with Americans in general. And most Americans aren't able to process a story like that. You know, Eric, I was doing a little bit of research this morning because I think there was a time when Americans would properly process a story like that. And that is because throughout most of our history, Americans, the majority of Americans lived in rural areas. It was in 1920 that the census showed a 50-50 split. And as of 2020, only 14% of Americans now live in rural areas. The result of that is that pet-loving Americans, I want to say something like 80 million households in the United States have pets, and 97% of them consider their dogs or, excuse me, their pets to be part of the family. They're not able to process a story like that. And it's because they can't conceive of a situation where a dog would be a threat to their own livelihood. To ranchers, they are. They're a menace. The state of South Dakota, some counties in South Dakota where Noem is from, offers a bounty for every coyote you kill. So you kill one, you take the carcass in, and they give you $50 for every one that you shoot. If you live in New York City, you can't process that. You can't understand that. And that, to me, is the bigger sin, as it were, of Noem not really understanding how the rest of the country would understand this. And of course, as I said, I'm just wondering where her editors were on this.
Well, it's interesting because, again, I want to talk to you about Jordan Peterson. I want to talk to you about Hamas. But I think, let's be clear, I don't care that Governor Kristi Noem doesn't take the temperature of the country beyond the borders of her state. Why? I think she should stay in her state. She's not going to run for national office. She shouldn't run for national office. And so I don't care about that. I also find it fascinating that she thought that this would kind of, you know, with people who would get this, this reads like, you know, she's going to do the tough things kind of, but she doesn't understand that people aren't going to get that. So I guess I just don't care, but it's kind of funny, the freak out that people act like, you know, she called Fluffy into the living room and, you know, butchered Fluffy with a knife. I mean, it just gets a little crazy. So I think we can move on. I think we've covered this.
Very good.
All right. So let's talk about the Hamas stuff, and then I want to get to Jordan Peterson and his comments on Christianity. So, as I think you know, I was recently involved in a rally to stand up for the Jews and for Israel, and it was at Columbia University, which is where there has been just some typically ridiculous pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas demonstrating. Now, again, where do we start? Hamas are like devils. They are sadistic, sick, evil people. We call them terrorists. That's too nice of a word, really. They raped and butchered all kinds of people. I don't see how you have any mercy on them. I mean, theologically, you can have mercy on them and you can pray that the Lord would have mercy on them. But the idea that you do anything to people like that, except go get them, I don't know. So, but I also have to say that what I've noticed about the protesters at these events and at, you know, going back years, they tend to be dramatically spoiled, out of touch, very immature, ignorant young people. Like, I don't know how else to put it. They seem to be dramatically uninformed, but they have a lot of emotion. And so anyway, that's just my opening statement. But when I was at Columbia with Sean Foyt, I have to say, Sean's willingness as a Christian to say, we're going to stand up for Israel, we're going to stand up for the Jews, this isn't going to go unanswered, this vicious anti-Jewish sentiment, that led to thousands of Jews showing up. And I thought, how cool that Christians led the way, and that as a result of this, there were thousands of Jews showing up with Israeli flags or whatever. I just thought it was frankly wonderful. I was carrying a Bonhoeffer poster because for me, he's the face of Christians standing up for the Jews. But what are your thoughts on the Hamas?
You know, I have to say, I commend you, Eric. I saw on social media this image of Bonhoeffer, big Bonhoeffer placard that you had and you holding a loudspeaker in your hand. And I thought, you know, that's just a great image. But then I immediately began to feel a sense of anxiety because I thought, am I going to have to write a piece defending Eric Metaxas as I did in 2020 when he slugged a member of Antifa? So I thought, you know,
I don't know if I actually slugged a member of Antifa. But we won't debate the term slugged right now. But just so you understand, there was really no counter protest. It was so lame.
It looked like it. That was the impression. Yeah. That was the impression I got. And of course, I'm just teasing you. But truthfully, I did see you and Sean there. I saw you with Patricia Heaton, who also showed up for that. I commend you for doing it because there needs to be some pushback on these students. And a thought that I have, Eric, I'm sure that this is a thought that's run through your mind many times, but as I engage with students on colleges and college campuses and universities, I have noticed over the course of, I don't know, 15 years or so, that there was a time where students would line up at the mics or whatever and be ready to sort of take you on with some kind of argument. These days, they don't. These days, it's simply an effort to shut you down. And that is because they're being conditioned. They're not being taught to think critically. They're being conditioned.
Hang on, Larry. We're going to go break. This is very important to explore, folks. We'll be right back to explore this in depth. I have to remind you, we're doing a fundraiser for CSI. We're freeing slaves in Africa. Think about this, folks. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see everything. The banner is right there. Very important that everybody participate. MetaxasTalk.com. Please check it out, and we'll be right back.
Oh, no.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedics, NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sand. $25. There's six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC. Welcome back. We're talking to our friend Larry Taunton. And Larry, you were just saying about the situation in American universities, how more and more these protesters, they seem just generic protesters, high-strung, emotional, ill-informed young people, kind of screeching. And it's really more about shutting down voices of dissent than it is actually putting forth, you know, an argument.
Yeah, I find that anymore, university, high school students, they are not being taught to think critically. They're being conditioned in Pavlovian fashion simply to react to whatever stimuli their professors serve up to them. And the sense is that they are taught, in essence, to believe that their feelings trump truth. So how they feel about Hamas, or how they feel about Kristi Noem, you know, shooting a dog, or how they feel about Donald Trump is more important than the facts of the matter. And I find that.
Thank you, by the way, for not mentioning Robert De Niro by name. That's very gentlemanly of you. But keep
very
going.
True.
Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's very troubling, because at least there was a time where you can engage in thoughtful conversation, debate on issues. The left has never wanted debate. They have always wanted to shut down any kind of conversation. I recall some years ago, a member of the cast of Glee just happened to be walking past our offices in the city center. And we had a big poster up in our window that was advertising. This was in, I want to say, 2015. We were advertising a debate on gay marriage. And she tore the poster off of our door or our window and stormed into our office and accosted a member of my staff. She said, "There's no debate over this. This debate is over." And we simply pointed out, well, you know, the data shows that the country is evenly divided on this issue. You happen to be wrong on that, but there was an effort to shut it down. And that to me was quite fascinating.
Actually, one of the funniest things. I mean, it seems funny to me now, but at the time it wasn't funny. I'm very proud to say five honorary doctorates. And the last one that I got.
Do I call you Dr. Metaxas?
That's the official term. People are supposed to address me that way. If they don't, I let it go. But so the reason I bring this up is that I believe the last place I was awarded an honorary doctorate was Sewanee, the University, the College of the South, Sewanee.
Georgia.
University of the South. And the reason I bring it up is that they allowed me to be their convocation speaker before I received my degree. And I gave, and this has to be, I don't know, 7 years ago, I gave this convocation address specifically talking about how important it is for us to have free speech, just 7 years ago, and how it's important to be able to talk to people on the other side of an issue. And I think at the time I said something like, it's important for, if you're on this side of the gay marriage, same-sex marriage debate, it's important to be able to talk to somebody on the other side of that or something like that. The vitriol sent my way. Students, the reason it becomes funny is some student wrote an article a few days after this. I mean, this was the most measured speech I've ever given. The student basically said, I have never heard such a hate-filled, it went on and on and on and on. I thought, these folks are so out of touch with reality that it's a little scary, actually. Like, it's so, the reason I say this is because it would be nice to simply say, this is a level of immaturity and childishness that is stunning. But when you realize that these are young adults, if you or I had a kid in fifth grade who behaved this way, we'd shut it down instantly, say, excuse me, no. We'd kind of correct them. You need to think through what you're saying. But this has been given, this has been encouraged on college campuses. So I'll never forget reading this because I thought, I know that what I said was dramatically measured. It was the most measured speech I've ever given. It was not leaning one way or the other. It was just about free speech, and we need to honor both sides and be able to debate. And yeah, this is what we're facing right now. It's anti-truth. It's anti-free speech. It's really dramatic.
Anti-American.
It's fundamentally anti-American, but it's
anti-constitutional.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree with you totally, Eric. As you well know, I and my organization, we made our name with debates initially, debates with guys like Richard Dawkins and Daniel Dennett, who just passed away last week, I believe, and Christopher Hitchens and Michael Shermer and all these different atheists and Muslims and so forth, public debates. With real teeth, where we went out and found what those people, the opposition, considered to be their very best, their strongest advocates. We weren't out just, looking for weak sisters. We were out trying to find somebody
But have you seen some of these interviews where people go to these protesters and they ask them to give any details of what you're protesting against, and they don't know? It's like their friends.
Yeah, that's quite funny.
We want you to show. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. Talking to Larry Taunton. We're going to be talking about Jordan Peterson in a minute, but we have to continue, Larry, about, I was just saying, have you seen some of these interviews with students? They're asked, what are you protesting against? They have no idea, which proves this is just like what their cool friends said. You need to show up. They're like, okay. And they show up with their masks and they have no idea why they're there. They don't know anything really.
Well, you know, universities now, colleges, they're just incubators of radicalism. But this raises an interesting question, because you said earlier at this rally, this counter-protest that you were a part of at Columbia University, that resistance was pretty weak. There really wasn't much going on there. How much do you sense that these crowds, these pro-Hamas crowds, are really rent-a-mobs? Do you think that might be the case?
There's no doubt. No. There is no doubt. Many people saw the photo. My friend Keith Junta pointed it out before anybody. There's a photo of tents. They're all the same tent. Who paid for those tents? There's like 10 of the same color make tent. Some, you know, George Soros affiliate paid for the tents. Told students, this is what you're going to do. This is Marxism in America. There's something going on. This is not organic.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And my own engagement of students on these kinds of issues reflects your experience. And we're only speaking anecdotally here, but I dare say that's been the case all over the United States. And frankly, I find that it's true all over the Western world. That it's just simply, as I say, kind of a Pavlovian reaction. You know, the bell, as it were, the leftist bell is rung, and they begin frothing at the mouth in reaction to it, rather than actually doing a bit of critical thinking and processing what might really be going on. And by the way, I want to add this: Marxists have always made cynical use of young people, students in particular, as the shock troops of the revolution. And then they are quickly discarded.
I guess I wonder then, what is the plan? Look, we know that if there were a fair election tomorrow, Biden is nowhere near able to get reelected.
I saw your tweet on that, but spot on.
It's obvious that the left now understands that they can no longer play by the rules. They never cared about the rules anyway, but if the rules work for them, they'll go with the rules and they'll argue that the rules are important. But if the rules aren't working for them, they'll do anything. They will cheat. They'll do anything, because they actually have no principles. They're one of their fundamental principles is we have no principles except power. So the question is, who is paying for these mobs, for these, you know, rent-a-riot? And what are they going to have them do to disrupt things so that we can't have an election in November? It seems to me clear that they're already preparing for that.
Yeah, I think so. And, I saw a New York Times headline last week, I believe it was, that said, unbelievably, mass surveillance protects us all. You know, it was a pro-mass surveillance article. And, you know, let me put this question to you. How is it, in your mind, how do you explain the fact that the baby boomer generation, the generation that is currently in power, the Hillary Clintons and the Joe Bidens and so forth, how is it that this generation was anti-authoritarian in the 60s, and now they've become pro-tyranny? What has happened there? Were they always pro-tyranny and they were just hiding it? Or has there been some kind of radical transformation in this generation? What do you think?
Isn't this the point, is that if you have no principles, I mean, I said it earlier, if you're a, let's be clear, let's do the math. You're a Marxist. Marxism, communism is by definition atheistic. Atheism is by definition principle free. If you believe there is no God, it follows that there is no meaning. It follows that all that matters is me winning and me having power. And so if arguing for free speech gives you the results you want, you argue for free speech. If arguing for free speech starts to give you values you don't like or results you don't like, you're now on the other side of free speech. You start talking about how we need censorship from disinformation. So I really think that ultimately, Larry, you understand this, it's the way the devil works. It's the way evil works. Evil will ride, you know, whatever horse gets him where he wants to go. And so I think that, you know, there were some people who were principled in the 60s and 70s. But I think that a lot of, I mean, I think we have to be honest that a lot of people, they're just riding along with the zeitgeist, whatever's cool, whatever their friends are doing. That's human nature. I've been guilty of that. And I think that when you look at this kind of thing, it's inevitable that you draw that conclusion that they don't have genuine bedrock values.
Yeah, exactly. Socialism, communism, Marxism, they are all just atheism masquerading as political philosophies. And these are individuals who are, you know, we're talking about people who are all sail, no anchor. And it answers the question how they could so rapidly. I mean, again, going back to Kristi Noem, part of what fascinates me with that whole controversy is the fact that you have Democrats who are jumping all over Kristi Noem for shooting this dog, and they have absolutely no problem with lopping off the penises of little boys and turning them into little girls or the annihilation of the unborn. But by golly, they draw the line at puppies. You're just not allowed to do that. I mean, that goes to show you how warped their moral thinking actually is.
Yeah, well, there is no moral thinking. There is no thinking. And that this is part of what we need to be clear on, folks, is that what we're dealing with on the left is a war on truth. It's a war on God. It's a war on reality. So you can't really debate people like that because they don't believe in debate. They don't believe in the Socratic method. They don't believe in arriving at truth because they don't believe in truth. They believe in whatever they believe in. They don't care whether it's valid. They feel emotionally, attached to it. So we have to understand what we're dealing with. Forgive me. We're at a hard break here. We'll be right back. Plenty more with Larry Taunton. Talking to Larry Taunton. Larry, you were just going to make a point.
Yeah. I was going to say something about truth. You know, you were saying these are people who don't believe in truth. As if to underscore your point, did you see how the new CEO of NPR says that truth is a very outdated and old-fashioned idea? I mean, just absolutely incredible. And that's,
you know, because what's also outdated? Having competent people heading up NPR. That's been out like for a long, long time.
And this, you know, I took my car in because it was pulling to the left, and the mechanic said it's because you've got NPR on. But you know, this is so true of our media, and particularly of NPR. To tell the truth here, I actually don't listen to NPR and really never have, except for Click and Clack. You know, I did like Click and Clack. How could you not like those guys?
Car guys. Well, but think about why. Because they were reality based. If you're talking about cars, it's reality based. You can't say, well, I feel this about my carburetor. I feel this about my differential. No, mechanics deal with reality. And that's the beauty of that. And so here we are now living in a world where people act like, well, there's no such thing as reality. Well, if you want a mechanic to work on your car, you don't believe that. You believe there's this thing called reality. So this is where we are right now. I mean, we're having to really understand that there's a war on truth and reality, and the folks on the wrong side of that cannot possibly win in the long term, but in the short term, they can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, well, you know, the war on truth, they absolutely must wage war on truth if they're to make the state supreme, which is what they want. And I'm reminded of a line, and I'm loosely quoting it here from Francis Schaeffer's How Then Should We Live? They go something like this: in no totalitarian or authoritarian regime can tolerate a people who say that they have an absolute universal standard by which all men and their governments are judged. And that's 100% true. And Christians are, by definition, they are rebels to any such pretenders to power. And it's because we will always maintain that there is a standard that is higher than that of the state. And traditionally in the United States, that's always been the case. I mean, our Declaration of Independence didn't appeal to British law. It appealed to higher law. It said that, you know, that what is taking place in this country is immoral and damnable precisely because it is in violation of God's law. And the abolitionists did much the same thing, as you, the author of a book on Wilberforce, knows very well, that they didn't appeal to the law. The law stated that slavery was legal. No, they appealed to God's law and said that those laws are null and void precisely because they are immoral laws that contravene the laws of God.
It's not complicated, but it's important that we state these things for people who don't know them. So yeah, what we're dealing with on the left at this point is people who are usually unwittingly at war with reality, with truth, with logic, who've been persuaded that their feelings trump everything. And folks, you know, that's not healthy. I mean, I'll go even farther. I know we're going to close here, but you know what? We didn't even get to talk about Jordan Peterson. Will you stay on so we can talk about that tomorrow?
Be delighted to do it.
I would love to do that. All right, folks, want to remind you, we're doing a fundraiser with CSI. We're freeing slaves. You get to participate, folks. You get to be part of something outrageous, extraordinary, beautiful. Do not miss it. You got to go to MetaxasTalk.com. This is mandatory. MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner at the top of the page. Thanks for listening.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.